You're listening to Well Met.
Well Met.
A Hearthstone podcast brought to you by BlizzPro.com.
Well Met.
Hey everyone, welcome to episode 155 of Well Met, Hearthstone podcast brought to you by BlizzPro.com. Today is Monday, May 28th. Here in Kansas City, I'm your host, J.R. Cook. And we have a new guest host for you this week as Danny is out once again. I think he had some holiday stuff he was taking care of since it is Memorial Day. But I am also joined by our regular co-host here. See, I called it correctly, Ray. Over in New Hampshire, Ray C. How's it going, man?
Yes. I like how you said we had, like, a special co-host, but then you just skipped over it and went to me.
I'm not good with introductions. I'm not good with starting out the show. I need to get better at some point. I need to work on that.
You're beautiful, JR. Don't ever change.
I will, how about this? We'll just have you do it next time, Ray.
Oh, boy. I don't think I will be as perfect.
Then stop making fun of me. No, it's fine.
Without John, man, somebody's got to do it.
That's true. But I did talk about a special guest host this week, and I would like to introduce Boticus from Coin Concede Podcast. How's it going, man?
It's going great. Thanks so much for having me on, guys. Really excited to join you guys this week. I've been a longtime listener of Well Met, and just excited to talk with you guys about some Hearthstone.
Hey, I want to thank you for coming on the show because it was short notice that we needed a guest host, and I didn't think anybody would respond, so kudos to that.
Definitely appreciate it, man. And I'm excited. There's a lot. I mean, there's not actually a lot going on this week, like, news-wise. But for us, there's a lot going on this week, because we have DreamHack Austin coming up this weekend.
Yeah, we'll talk about
We'll
talk about that a little bit later. But, no, I was curious, though, Ray. How's everything been going with you this week in Hearthstone, though? Like, where are you at rank-wise? What are you... how's your EU going?
Oh, I haven't touched EU yet. I mean, I'll probably get Legend on EU in like a few hours, like just to reset at rank 5 so I can really try hard next month. But this month has just kind of been all over the place with just being busy and health and all that stuff. It's just been kind of sporadic. So next month I'm hoping to go hard in all the servers, but this month is a little bit awkward. Just since the last day ends on the day that we have to travel to DreamHack Austin, which is something we all knew going into this month. So basically what that means is EU and Asia end really early in the day for me. So I can't really grind on those servers the last day. I can play on NA because by the time I get to Austin, there'll probably be like 4 or 5 hours left just to secure a finish on NA. But for EU and Asia, those servers end so much sooner that there is literally no time on the last day. Like, the last 24 hours of the server, like, I'll just be busy. Because it's going to take me a long time to actually get to Austin. So, it just makes sense to really focus on NA and just kind of not really care about EU or Asia or anything like that this month.
Yeah.
And, but right now, I'm not high-ranked or anything. I'm, like, around 500. I'm just kind of... I was messing around with decks and just trying a bunch of stuff since I've been prepping for DreamHack Austin and stuff. Sometimes they'll play tournament decks on ladder just because nobody's around to practice or something. And I just want to get a better feel for the deck, even though I know it's not really necessarily good on ladder, just because it's like not all tournament decks are going to perform well on ladder. So it's one of those things where you're just like, why am I playing against Shudderwalk? I banned this. Or why am I playing against Warlock? I'm banning you. Go away. And then you just run into like 5 of them in a row and you're just like, why am I playing this deck?
Yeah. Or like, why did I play around this tech card when I have no idea whether it's in their deck or not? Because at, like, at least at DreamHack, it's open deck list, so you know all of the cards in there. But on Ladder, people have played just the most random stuff sometimes, and it can really get you. So it can be pretty frustrating, yeah.
Yeah, but now it's time to just, like, buckle down and play good stuff. Just play the best decks. Like, play Evenlock, play Shudderwalk, whatever it is. I actually haven't played a single game of Shudderwalk yet, so... I hope I don't have to resort to that, but I probably will.
Are you going to get top 100?
I mean, I hope I get top 25. I don't really want a top 100.
But I always forget how those points go on what you're aiming for.
Definitely the goal is top 25, but top 100 is acceptable. Top 200 is like the bare minimum.
What if I'm ranked 5?
You still got time, man.
How many points do I get for that?
Quit your job. Oh, to rank 5-0.
Oh.
Congratulations.
Well, that's my normal, so I'm okay with that. I'm not exceeding expectations. I'm doing what's expected of me.
No, you're setting yourself up for next month. You feel me? Like, next month you're going to start at rank 9? Is that what it is? It's rank 9? It's like four behind? So that means you're going to have an easier time getting Legend, and then you'll get the points. You feel me?
Sure. What I'll do is I will hit Legend by the end of the month or close to it. So if I hit rank 2, I'll be happy, I guess. But no, Bodicus, man. I apologize. When I introduced you, I wanted you to kind of talk about yourself and talk about your show and things like that. And I apologize. I didn't give you that opportunity. So
no problem.
So how about you let the let our listeners know a little bit about you and what you do, and then talk about what you did in Hearthstone this week.
Sure. So I go by Bodicus. I'm one of the hosts of the Coin Conceived podcast. We're a podcast. We're trying to make the competitive side of the game more accessible to, like, the average player, just give them an insight on tournaments and go really in depth on decks every episode, or the meta, or just, you know, try to really help people achieve their goals in Hearthstone. I'm actually fairly new to the cast. I've only been a host for the past, I believe, 6-ish months. I was initially brought on because we do a lot of coaching via our Patreon. So they needed some extra help because they had too many people that needed coaching. So I came on as a coach. And then as we kind of had some people rotate out of the podcasting part, I ended up coming on as a main host. But I've been playing Hearthstone. I started playing a long time ago, like just kind of after beta, after I guess the full game got released. And initially I was kind of thinking it was not a very good game because I was really into Magic the Gathering. And I played a couple games and realized that it's way more in depth than I gave it credit for. And so I played for probably a few months, eventually hit Legend and was kind of done with the game at that point. But then after playing Magic for a really long time and getting kind of fed up with how they were treating their competitive players, I came back to Hearthstone, found the awesome kind of podcasting community, and haven't looked back. I'm really enjoying it now and just now starting to try to break into the competitive scene.
How long did you play Magic for?
7 years. I started during the first Innistrad block. I don't want to lose too many of the listeners, but I started during the first Innistrad block, and I started petering out around the invention block that I starts with a K, and I can't remember anymore. It's been that long.
Yeah, I'm trying to think Karazhan? When that was. This was Magic.
That's the wrong game.
Yeah, wrong game. I'm trying to think of, was that, so would you have started after, like, Shards of Alara?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Innistrad's, like, 5 years later or something.
Yeah.
It's a while. Like, Shards of Alara was the last time I played, so that's why I was asking, because I played basically from beta through Shards of Alara, and then I quit, so.
I played during Innistrad. That was, like, the flippy cards.
Yep. Delver of Secrets.
And that's where Brian Kibler beat John Finkel in like that famous game at the Pro Tour.
Oh yeah, I remember that one. It was Magic's a great game, but I'm married now, and you know I like to at least be home so that my wife thinks that I'm around some of the time instead of constantly being at the card shop every day. So yeah.
So you know, funny story about that, because I quit Magic the same year that I met my wife. So I'm pretty sure that they coincided there somehow.
Well, that's 100% a thing. There's a running, like, I don't want to call it a gag, but like amongst like our team, like of PG Pandas, is like as soon as everybody gets a girlfriend on the team, like immediately after, they just start sucking at the game for at least a few months. No matter what game it is, it's the girlfriend DLC, dude. They get nerfed. They get hit with that Nerf hammer.
Well, what about the female listeners out there, Ray? They're listening to our show. If they meet a guy,
they get nerfed. They get it's nerfed. The same way. It's not.
It's not one way or the other, huh?
It's not one way or the other. It's just like if you have a significant, like if you already had one, like going into gaming, it's like probably different. But if you find one, like while you're gaming, like you get hit with the Nerf hammer, man.
Mine wasn't so much for the gaming part. Mine was for the money part. Magic is a very expensive game.
Yeah, my wife tried to play Magic and tried to play a little bit of Hearthstone. She used to be used to game a lot, but now she's like in school and working and doesn't really have as much time. So she's actually just complaining to me this morning because I guess she went to Dave and Buster's and was pissed because she wasn't good at video games anymore. So she's like trying to get back into it a little bit.
Man, that's been me for the last 10 years.
That's your fault, man. It's all you. She was good and then...
You nerfed her.
She got hit with the Nerf hammer, dude.
Yeah, that's got to be it.
Yeah, you brought in the balance changes.
She used to wait for the next patch till she become good again.
So how have you been doing in Hearthstone this week?
I didn't
man?
Get into my week. Yeah. So I basically after the nerfs hit, I was having a really, really hard time. I dropped to like the lowest I've ever been in Legend before, and just couldn't figure out what to do until Saturday, I guess. I found Miracle Rogue and went like 12-1 and got back up into just above 1k, and I've fallen just a little bit since then, but I've kind of been hovering in that area trying to figure it out, because all of a sudden hunters are running like Rat Trap and stuff in their decks and causing Miracle Rogue a bit of problems. But also been playing some Bitcoin Mage.
Yes.
To deal with, because all of a sudden there was like a resurgence of more aggressive decks, and also I figured I was coming on here, so I'd like to talk to the master of the Bitcoin Mage about it. But that deck's been a lot of fun. You just gotta dodge the Shudderwalks, and apparently the you have to dodge Togwaggle Druid too.
Togwaggle Druid.
Like half of the druid decks you destroy, especially if you're playing Geist, and then the other half just dumpster you. Like the token decks, if they know how to play it right, they just Soul of the Forest one of their boards, and if you don't have a board, then you can't remove their stuff and they just kill you.
Yeah, that matchup's really difficult. Like you have to have double Dragon's Fury or like Hyrule a Lich King card.
Yeah.
To be able to deal with the token druid board. But against like the Togwaggle and the Maligos stuff that's been going around, I've just been adding like one ooze to a lot of my decks, just because like ooze single-handedly beats Togwaggle, because you just keep your hand size low enough that they can't ever overdraw you, so you don't burn the swap deck card back. Okay. So if you kill their weapon, they can never play Togwaggle and Azalina in the same turn, so you can just never lose, you know?
Okay, that makes sense. I was thinking, like, if I had landed Geist against them, I might have had a chance to get rid of their naturalizes, but they still... And then the problem is I didn't draw Jaina early enough. So, like, it feels like it's important to be able to freeze their face for so they can't attack you with the weapon. But I guess they have, like, a lot of removal, so it can be hard to keep water elementals going at their face.
I mean, you just have to run a weapon removal, honestly. Like, that's really the only way to deal with it. Otherwise, they're just eventually going to get you. So if you just put in a weapon removal, you just win that matchup. Because, I mean, all you have to do is not let your hand get so big that they can naturalize overdraw you and then play Togwaggle. And then they just lose because they can't play Azalina and Togwaggle on the same turn.
How do you beat the quest druids? I've seen a few of those too.
Or quest druids are pretty lame, man. Like, you just have to you just have to hope that they get Maligos in their opening hand so it doesn't get reduced. Then you win. There we go. I figured it out.
So
that's all it is.
I'm just so happy that quest druid is becoming a more mainstream thing.
No, dude, all these decks, it's so frustrating. It feels like rock, paper, scissors every time I cube with, like, just all these, like, there's quest druid, there's shudderwalk, there's, I've even seen quest rogue, recruit hunter, like, all these decks that are just such polarizing matchups for certain decks. And there's really no good aggro decks to deal with them right now. The only good aggro deck is Tempo Mage, and Tempo Mage, I feel like it's just been doing really poorly for me for some reason. Like, it's not amazing against the Druid decks because they have a bunch of armor. And Tempo Mage just leaves a sour taste in my mouth after prelims, where you just get hands that are just unwinnable. They're so bad. You just play nothing.
Like, your first five turns are just your whole hand is spells, and then you play Alaneth, and then you draw all the creatures, and it's just like it feels miserable. Yeah, yeah. I stray away from Tempo Mage as much as possible. The only other aggro deck I've seen is I guess I've seen a little bit of Odd Rogue, but I always felt like Odd Rogue felt terrible whenever you were on coin. Because, like, going weapon into... You really want to, like, push your 3-drop. Like, you really want your 3-drop to be very impactful, whether it's the Hench Clan Thug or Flappy Bird. But, like, when you're on coin, it's just so much slower that I always felt like Odd Rogue wasn't great. And then I've seen quite a bit of Odd Paladin lately, which I think... I don't know, it's weird. It's definitely not as strong as even Paladin was, but some matchups are just like unwinnable. Like, you just can't ever beat Odd Paladin because they make so many things.
Yeah, I don't know, Odd Paladin just feels slower. Like, sometimes you can get the Blessing of Kings thing, like, start, but at that point I'd just rather play Miracle Rogue and just be playing a good deck that can sometimes just get the nuts where you have a huge Van Cleef that immediately wins you the game, or just go Firefly into Fire Elemental or Flame Elemental, whatever it's called, plus Cold Blood, and you just win that way against those decks. But I don't know, there's just no aggro deck that I like right now, and that's kind of why I think the meta feels so weird to me, because it's all these weird combo decks that are just very non-interactive.
Yeah.
And there's not enough aggro that's good, that feels good, to keep them at bay.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's one of the problems that I'm having this past week. And not only have I been busy with, like, work, and, like, I even worked, like, all weekend, basically, even though it's a holiday weekend, and then buying a house and all this other stuff. I did get to play a little bit, but I was just trying to find that one deck that I could just, you know, play for, you know, hop on for 5 minutes and play a match and just win. So a good aggro deck. And I just couldn't find one that I could play. So I ended up playing Odd Paladin, and I didn't have much luck with that. So I tried Token Druid, and I didn't have much luck with that. So then I just went back to just playing Spiteful Druid, and then I ended up with Quest Druid, just because I played that deck early on, before the nerfs and everything. And I even brought it to the fight night thing that we had there at the movie theater and played it there, and before it was really well known. I really enjoy playing that deck. I don't know why. It's just dumb, but it's fun. So
yeah.
But I'm not having much luck with it either. I'm just not having much luck this month, guys. I don't know what to do.
I don't know. Like, Token Druid is, like, all these decks that, like, we're calling aggro decks are, like, more mid-range decks, but because there's no true aggro decks right now, they feel like the aggro decks. It's super weird. Like, to me, the most aggro deck I can play is Evenlock, because when I'm on the coin, I can play Giant on 3 and just hit them in the face for 8 every turn until they die.
Yeah, I'm, like, thinking of, like, Miracle Rogue as an aggro deck because you play Henge Clan Thug on turn 3 after you weapon on 2 and start hitting them.
Exactly. It's super weird. Like, Miracle Rogue, Token Druid, like, all even Odd Paladin. Not even Paladin. Odd Paladin. I don't know. I don't really consider them aggro decks. They're more mid-range decks to me. Yeah. And the only truly aggro deck is really Tempo Mage, and that's just... I don't know.
So I'm
not feeling it.
So is it not too much of a control meta? Is it just more of a combo meta, or people are just popping off their combo and winning?
I mean, that's a lot of what I've been playing. It's like combo and then stuff that's like sort of anti-combo, I guess. Like stuff that can just kill you in one big burst.
Right.
Like, I guess, yeah, Token Druid is kind of a combo, right? Like,
yeah. Because even the aggro, like, the fact that the combo decks don't die to the aggro decks, which is usually how it's supposed to work, is that it's supposed to be kind of hard to set up your combo and take you a bunch of time and give the aggro deck some time to be able to push a bunch of damage and kill you. But, like, Shudderwalk has Healing Rain and a bunch of board clears, and just eventually has to play their pieces before they go off. And, like, the fact that that can still beat the aggro decks and it's just so insane against the heavy control decks that, like, it's just a really weird spot to be in.
Yeah, it's really interesting. I'm wondering, like, now talking about it, if there is any, like, aggro decks that are unexplored, which I don't think so, but I'm getting the thought that something like Spiteful Druid, even though it's nerfed, might still just be good enough. Like, even with nerf Spiteful, like, maybe that deck's still just good because people wouldn't expect it, and it's somewhat aggressive enough, I think, that you can beat the combo decks. Before, like, you would never really beat Questrogue, but I think that Spiteful Druid can definitely do work against something like Shudderwalk Shaman and stuff before they can pop off.
I think Zoo's actually, like, I've seen a bit of Zoo, not obviously a ton, mostly I've seen Evenlock, but every once in a while you see some Zoo, and, like, you mulligan incorrectly against them, and they go Flame Imp on one, and you just die, like, really quickly. Like, cards like Despicable Dreadlord are still really powerful, Doomguard's still really good, and obviously the Warlock hero power is broken, so if you... If you mulligan for, like, the more controlling locks and they just play Flame Imp on turn one, followed up by some taunts to protect it, like, you can die really quickly. But in, like, it doesn't work in, like, a tournament setting because people just know that you're playing Zoo. So you don't get those same percentage points that you would get on ladder.
I wonder if there's anything, like, I don't know. They're just, like, such a small card pool right now that there isn't that much room for innovation. I feel like I've gone through my collection and stared at it so many times trying to figure out what else there is. And I know there's definitely other things that are going to get discovered, but it's hard to think of something undiscovered really contesting what's been coming up as tier one right now.
And yet we're still about 3 months away from the next set.
Yeah, I don't know, man. Like, they don't like gameplay interactions that aren't fun and enjoyable, whatever the quote is when they nerf Leeroy. But Shudderwalk is so uninteractive that I don't know, man.
Well, and then you got Togwaggle Druid, which is basically the same. You've got
No, Totwiggle you can interact with because you can play around your hand getting too big.
That's true. Yeah, there's a little bit there, I guess. Malygos or Questrude is just got to kill them before they pop off their stuff. I mean, even Spiteful Drude was kind of the same, right?
You can still kill their minions though. Like with Questrude, I guess it's a little bit different, but I don't think Questrude has the same power level as like Shudderwalk. Shudderwalk, you can't really get screwed over with Questrude. You can just have Malygos in your hand before you complete the quest, and you just don't win anymore.
I mean, I don't know what Questrude is playing right now. But I know that if I had Malygos in my hand, I could have Faceless Manipulator and a couple of the other cards. The guy that when you play him, you can play, and you play another card, it like makes a copy of that card.
Yeah.
So you can get multiple Malygos or Malyguy or whatever you want to call him. You can still like get multiples of those and get like a one turn kill though.
Yeah, but it's like more awkward. It's like more setup, whereas like Shudderwalk is so consistent where the cards you need also help you against what your bad matchups are. Like Questrude, the tools that they use to complete their quest aren't helping them not die to aggro. Shudderwalk, the tools they use to complete their quote-unquote quest, which is like Shudderwalk going off, is like Chain Gang, Life Drinker, things that are actually stuff that you want to have against aggro, and I think that's what's making it degenerate right now.
Yeah.
So I miss Dirty Rat.
Dirty Rat is also huge. If they brought back Dirty Rat, I think this metagame would actually be fine, and I'd be so happy because I would just get to play Quest Warrior, and I could just not lose to every single combo deck in the world.
Maybe that's a card they need to introduce in the next set. It's not Dirty Rat and bring it back, but like a Dirty Rat type effect.
The Dirty Mouse?
Yeah. Yeah. Dirtier Rat, where it plays two of your opponent's minions.
Oh my god, I would actually love that.
Yeah.
Like a five, or they can even make it six mana, dude. I do not care. As long as it pulls cards out of my opponent's hand. Or something that just lets me pick a card from my opponent's hand and get rid of it.
That would be
great.
That would be so powerful, though.
Yeah, that would probably be way too powerful.
Everybody would play that card.
Yeah. We don't want a Thoughtseize for those Magic fans out there.
Yeah,
you're right. I don't know. I just don't like losing to Shudderwalk. It feels bad.
What I found is just losing feels bad. It's just if you lose to something a bunch of times, then eventually you're like, this specifically feels bad. But losing in general, not the best feeling.
Yeah. But man, there's one more thing I wanted to talk about real quick. we got to talking about the meta. We might skip talking about the meta later. You guys all remember John, right? Kick Tripod used to host the show.
I do.
Yeah. He's up for a vote right now over doing Overwatch things. And if you head over to worldcup.playoverwatch.com, you can vote for him for a community lead for the World Cup for the USA. And he's one of, like, the final 10. So that's a pretty big deal.
Yeah, this is actually a really big deal. Like, this will legitimately change this dude's life. And all it takes is a vote. Like, literally, like, probably 5 clicks, and you could change his life.
Yeah. Yeah, that's... So if you like John and his stuff and want to help him out, I think that ends on June 1st. So as I said, worldcup.playoverwatch.com. If you're in the USA, if you're outside the USA, you won't be able to vote for him.
And if you don't like John, vote for him, because then once he gets the job, you'll never have to hear from him again.
What?
I don't know. I'm just thinking on the fly, man. I'm trying to get these votes. trying to get these votes, baby.
I'm trying to figure out your logic here. I mean, I guess
they
if
vote
you,
for him. For,
I guess if you don't watch Overwatch, maybe. I guess.
I don't know. I said vote for him. Okay.
Yeah, just
I
vote
feel
for
like
him.
That's positive.
I agree. But anyway, do we want to jump into the news?
Yeah, sure.
Yep.
This week in Hearthstone, Heroes of Warcraft.
All right, there is no news. So,
nice.
Nothing's going on. No, just kidding. No, there is something coming up this weekend. You heard Bodicus and Ray talk about it early on the show. DreamHack Austin is coming up this weekend, and both of you guys are going. You're gonna participate.
That is the plan so far.
If you face off against each other, who's gonna win?
I mean,
well, we're gonna be in the finals, and you know it'll be kind of a win-win situation in that situation. So I'll be okay losing to Ray. All right. It'll be all right.
See. He's already conceding before the game. I don't even have to say anything. We're good.
Yeah. See, that's all it took is just bring Bodicus on the show, and he immediately concedes to Ray, and Ray doesn't have to worry about one opponent at DreamHack next week.
I swear, dude, I'm going to play him now, and I'm just going to go 0-3. It's just going to... Oh, boy.
We'll talk about it next week, and yeah. And
I'll just complain about how he got what's that card that like destroys the Shudderbox deck so that way they only have combo pieces?
Hemet.
Yeah, you'll just get like all the cards into Hemet on 6 and then
no, I'll just Edwin you or I'll just make a 6/6 Edwin on turn well, actually, no, like an 8/8 Edwin on turn 2 against you in all of the games. That's what I did to my co-hosts when I played in their listener league. That's actually how I ended up kind of getting on the show. Is they did they had a league for all of their listeners, and I joined it and won the whole thing, and then they kind of brought me on. But Edwin was still good. Edwin's always still pretty good.
6/6 Van Cleef, though, man. Those are some rookie numbers.
On turn 2, it's all right.
No. We're all about that 8/8, 10/10. We're big boys.
All right.
Yeah. So you guys are playing this weekend. So how do you guys go about like preparing for this? Like, Bodicus, is this how many tournaments have you been in like this, or is this your first one?
So this will be my first DreamHack. I actually don't get a chance to play in a ton of tournaments. I actually usually prefer just grinding ladder because it's so flexible when you can do it. But one of my co-hosts just recently won a tournament called the Brotherly Brawl that Swagoi Gaming puts on. And that was actually a pretty like big prize pool tournament. I wonder, did you know about that tournament, Ray?
Yeah. That's the one in Philadelphia, right?
Yeah, so he won that tournament and he credits a lot of it to his lineup. So he's helping me out with my lineup since I don't play in a ton of tournaments. But other than that, I'm just kind of playing a bunch of decks that he says are likely to be in my lineup, just trying to familiarize myself with it. And actually, after the cast is over, we're going to run some lineups and kind of see what gels with me. And there's like only a couple decks where I'm like, no, I know that one looks like it's well positioned, but I'll just make a fool of myself if I play it at the tournament. So we're not going to include that one.
Yeah, that's actually the biggest piece of advice I could give somebody who hasn't had a lot of tournament experience is to just play what you feel comfortable with and not to play something that you've only played like a few times on ladder and have no experience with, just because you don't want to make a fool of yourself on stream, obviously. But more importantly, are you going to be able to outplay the best players in the world playing the same deck as you if it's like a control deck or something like that? It's like one of the things that you have to ask yourself. And at the end of the day, it's just easier on yourself mentally. And you'll probably do better just playing the decks that you're good at as long as they're obviously, like, on the tier list somewhere. Like, they're not basic mage.
Yeah, like, you gain some percentages by having a good lineup, but then you don't want to lose more percentage than you're gaining by playing a deck you're unfamiliar with and you're going to make mistakes with. That was a big thing when I was, I played in the rat race at the start of the year, and I remember I was playing some token druid, and then eventually I tried switching to Raza Priest, and then I queued into a couple of Raza Priest mirrors against some of the pros that were at the venue, and I was just like, I can't play this matchup because I just know that, or I don't know exactly what to do in every situation, and they're going to be getting so many percentage points on me that I don't want to, I can't be queuing this matchup. I need to be queuing something that's like that I know inside and out, and I don't have to second guess my decisions.
Yeah, and if your goal is to win the tournament, you have to realize that you're also going to be playing on stage a lot. And the pressure when you're on stage, it's like, obviously you can think, but you want to be able to have your instincts kick in. That's one thing that Teray taught me a lot, is that you just have to trust your instincts, like when you're playing in high pressure situations. And I don't think that you can really trust, like, your instincts to take over if you haven't had experience with the deck, because there are no, like, muscle memory moves that you're going to make kind of thing.
Yeah. So Ray, I know that for HCT, like, you were talking about how you're going to kind of prepare for that. And was it Jinky Ninky, Dr. J? You and him worked together, or was it Ant? I don't remember which one.
Me and Dr. J worked together, and then
you guys were like making the, you guys were like making these percentages of what the best decks were, and it seemed like you definitely got high rolled on that, and you're in HCT and didn't do very well. So are you changing your strategy up this time? Are you just going with the same? Are you just going with the same idea
for this event? I think I'm going to trust my gut and play what I'm comfortable with and what I think will do well instead of what the stats say will do well. That could be a mistake, but
it's also a bit different because it's Last Hero Standing versus Conquest. You can do much different stuff with your lineups than you could if you were playing Conquest. Like, you can take kind of a wackier deck that you might be extremely skilled with. And you don't, like, you're not forced to win with it. You can just, as long as you have, like, generally solid decks and then a couple decks that are really good at countering, like, being able to counter queue into somebody, then you're positioned to do pretty well in Last Hero Standing, I think.
So Last Hero Standing is actually a much more solvable format than Conquest is, because there's a lot less randomness. The only randomness in Last Hero Standing is whoever, like, plays what first. So whatever you throw first is the only thing that's random in Last Hero Standing. Because when you win in Last Hero Standing, the person who wins keeps the same deck, and the person who loses gets to change their deck. So they basically try to counter or play their best deck against whatever they just lost to. So you're not both throwing a random deck every time. So it's a lot more fixed, and it's a lot more predictable.
Yeah, it's
like
a lot
once
more,
you're already in the game.
Yeah, it's a lot more counterplay, a lot more being able to choose, and having decks that you know that counter other decks. And you know, I feel like even though, and correct me if I'm wrong, I feel like even though you lose that first game, you might actually have an advantage going into it. Maybe a little bit. I mean, you don't want to start out 0-1. That's a bad choice of words on my part.
With Last Hero Standing, you get a lot more 3-0s and 3-2s, because a lot of times what either happens is whoever wins the first game will either high roll an unfavorable matchup and then get a favorable matchup, or it just goes back and forth.
Right.
Yeah, the other thing that causes a lot of 3-0s is that people leave weak spots in their lineups for a deck to sweep them. So say somebody brings like Shudderwalk Shaman and Quest Rogue, which are arguably both good against the same thing. They're both good against control decks, and they face like an all control lineup, and the control lineup can only ban one out of the two decks, and then they just get swept. So they can only ban Shudderwalk, and then Questrogue just 3-0s them because they're just playing control decks. So stuff like that happens a lot more if people don't really understand their lineup and they leave themselves open to a potential weak point and people exploit it. Like somebody else who has a lineup that exploits your weak point, it's a lot more detrimental in Last Hero Standing to face a bad matchup than it would be in Conquest. Because in Conquest, if your opponent just has one deck that's really, really good against you, they just win with it and you don't have to worry about it anymore. Like, you're not just completely dead on the spot.
Right. So, another question that I had then is, I actually just completely forgot it. Holy cow. Save me, Ray. Talk about something else.
I guess, like, preparing for Last Hero Standing, thinking about your lineup, the main thing, like, you have to do is just make sure that you're not going to get swept and just know how certain matchups are going to play out. Like, you take what you think are, like, the most popular lineups going into it, which is actually really difficult right now in this metagame because it feels like there are so many decks that are just very good right now, or that everything sucks, one or the other, because Shudderwalk Shaman was, like, the worst deck in the game, and now it's the best deck, so maybe everything just sucks that much that, like, everything equally sucks, so now it's, like, everything's equally good.
Yeah.
But,
And the other issue is we don't even have any tournaments, really. Like, there was the Titanar Invitational that Orange won this last weekend, but the problem with that is they all had to submit decks before the nerfs even happened, so you don't really know that his lineup was necessarily good. It's just that everybody else didn't have any information and were just kind of doing what they assumed would be good. I remember seeing a great tweet from him. Somebody asked him why he had Zola in his big mage deck and what he was looking to copy, and he said, "I don't know, I just panicked."
Yeah, that's the question that I forgot about earlier. That's what I was actually going to ask, was how difficult is it right now to kind of pick and choose your decks with the balance changes just hitting very recently? And I knew that there was a tournament this last weekend, but I didn't realize that they had to submit their decks before those changes went into place. So this would be like the first tournament with these changes in place, being prepared for it.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty difficult to predict a metagame that, in my opinion, like, I think the latter is more solved. Like, there's a strict, like, set of decks that are good, but putting those in a lineup form and, like, picking four of them, especially when it's Last Hero Standing, is just, it's very difficult to kind of figure it out. And you can use, like, win rates from HS Replay or whatever it is that you're using to find win rates for decks. And you can plug those into your calculator. Like, say you have, like, you take the best decks and you make a bunch of lineups that you think people are going to play and you put all the numbers in or whatever. It's like those numbers from these sites are probably inaccurate, and it's so early on that, like, all these decks that are, like, by far and away the best decks, like Evenlock and stuff, might just not actually be that good because other decks aren't refined yet, so it just does well against those kind of decks. Like, there might be an aggro deck that gets discovered 2 weeks from now that completely shuts out decks like Shudderwalk, and I don't know, it just feels like everything is still all over the place right now to me, and it's very difficult.
It definitely feels like somebody who is more of a deck builder actually has a pretty good advantage going into this weekend, just because they might be able to come up with something that doesn't really have time to get traction on the ladder and people to know about it. So I wouldn't be surprised if there was something that showed up this weekend that we weren't really expecting. Like, I believe back before the Jade Druid nerf, there was some rumblings of like Kel'Seth Rogue. I believe somebody brought Kel'Seth Tempo Rogue before anybody else really knew about it, yeah, and kind of took that tournament by storm. So I wouldn't be surprised if this weekend something somewhat similar happened.
That would actually be pretty cool.
I agree. Although I think like what's more likely to happen is that the best lineup just ends up, this is what I hope happens, is that the people who do well, or like somebody who does well, plays Spiteful Druid and Quest Rogue. Just because it's such a slap in the face.
And Q Block. That's something over the ladder too.
Like Q Block, Spiteful Druid, Quest Rogue, and Tempo Mage, or something that was like the same lineup as from before. Just because I feel like that might be a thing. Like, we might still be in that phase where we're trying out new stuff, and people just haven't been playing things like Quest Rogue or Spiteful Druid, that they might just still be good enough.
Yeah, I mean, Q Block is still a good deck. Spiteful Druid is still a good deck.
I just would not be surprised. I'm not saying I'm doing this, but I wouldn't be surprised. Like, I've heard people like talk about how Spiteful isn't bad, and Quest Rogue might still just be good, and Q Block might still be just like a sleeper pick, stuff like that. And I just wouldn't be surprised if a lineup that had like Spiteful Druid, Quest Rogue, Q Block just ends up doing well, just because people aren't expecting it, and it's not that like they didn't get nerfed enough to the point where their percentages go down that much.
Now I want to go down to Austin and participate in this and just play those.
I mean, I want to play those, but like I also don't, because I haven't really like practiced enough with that, like Q Block in the new meta or Spiteful Druid in the new meta, and I also just hate all those decks.
I wouldn't mind playing some Quest Rogue, but that's always been one of the decks that I've really enjoyed playing.
Yeah.
But it's also, I understand that it's like literally just solitaire.
It's also like at this point, it's very difficult to figure out the data on that stuff, like for yourself, not necessarily just looking at the stats on a website, but like playing the decks in the new meta against like specific matchups. It's just like, there's not that much time anymore. And if you were going to do that, I feel like the people that are going to bring those kind of lineups have already been testing. I definitely think Killen will bring like Quest Rogue, like some jank stuff like that, just because he's probably been like testing that stuff. Like those, the people who are going to bring it have already been playing it.
Yeah.
Although he also might bring some Spellstone Warrior.
Oh my. I hope he does, man.
That deck is not good. Do not invest in Spellstone Warrior. Do not take Killen's advice from last week.
Dude, it's his year, dude. It's his year. Yo, Cad. Year of Killen all day, baby.
Yeah, maybe he just wins World Championships with Spellstone Warrior out of nowhere.
Oh, I hope he wins Worlds. That would just make the perfect meme.
That would be pretty awesome. But moving on from talking about DreamHack Austin, shifting a little bit now from like tournament to our free to play players out there who are looking for budget decks, we decided to talk a little bit this week. Each one of us kind of brought a deck, except for Ray, so I guess it wasn't each one. And Sid Boticus came with two to make up for Ray's slacking.
I thought this was like one of those things where like your friend does your homework for you, and then you copy off of him right before the class starts.
Yeah, yeah. And Boticus was even nice enough to like give you a deck that is similar to one of your favorites. So you got that going for you.
Well, he actually just like strictly improved my version of the budget Burn Mage deck. Like, he's like, hey, these cards are pretty good. And I'm like, well, I have these bad cards in here. We should probably just put these better cards in there. And it already looks a lot better.
Well, there you go. So Ray, okay. And Ray did help. So he's got that going for it. But these budget decks, the idea behind this is we have a lot of listeners out there that are between rank 25 to rank 10, maybe a little bit higher than that, that are, you know, having problems with maybe they don't have a lot of money. And that's fine. Or maybe they just want to be free to play, and that's fine too. Or maybe they're new. And what these decks are meant to do is we had a couple rules. No epics, no legendaries. That was a big one. So these are very cheap to make. They should get you to at least rank 10 if you practice with them. And by the time you get to rank 10, maybe you can improve on them. You can make them better. So as you're laddering up and getting more gold and things like that, you can improve on them. And as you improve on, maybe they'll get you to rank 5 and higher, maybe even legend. So, the first one that we're gonna talk about here is the ones that when they were just talking about there, the budget burn mage. I think that's a good one to start with. So, what'd you guys decide on that? First of all, Bodicus, what'd you come with, and what Ray help you with on changing?
Sure. So I kind of was looking at some of the different options for budget decks, and I was looking at all the cards in current Tempo Mage and realized that basically all of the cards in the deck are either classic cards or commons or rares, except for Aluneth and Primordial Glyph. And so I just kind of put some of those cards together just to see what it would look like, and I added a couple other things that I've seen in some other lifts. So I had some like mirror images in there, and I had like a weapon removal and a Frost Nova, and then got to talking to Ray, and he had suggested that the Ghastly Conjurer plus Fungal Mancer was a thing that some of the Tempo Mages were playing a while ago, and those just slotted in much nicer than the other cards I had in there. So we kind of came up with this Burn Mage deck. I think it's really solid. Ray was kind of talking about before the cast, actually, about how some people weren't even running Aluneth in the original version of Tempo Mage. So obviously, while it might improve the deck slightly by having it in it, I think this is definitely a totally serviceable deck to start if you're low on dust or don't quite have any of the legendaries yet.
Yeah, this is like one of those cheap Chinese Amazon chargers that you buy online, and they'll charge your phone, they'll do it, they'll get you to rank 10, but eventually they're cheap and they'll break apart. Once you reach up to the higher ranks and realize that, it was only a few bucks.
I was just going to say, the best thing about most of these lists is just that it really doesn't take that much to improve them to get to where the optimized version is of it. Like, if you just happen to open the Mage Legendary Weapon as your free legendary for, I guess that was Kobolds and Catacombs, then you just have the majority of this deck. Like, I like the idea that there are some small upgrades that you can kind of put in there as if you enjoy playing the deck and it's doing well for you as you kind of accumulate your dust over time.
Yeah. So what would you end up putting into this deck as a, I mean, other than Aluneth, what were some of the other cards that, or is that it?
Primordial Glyph.
So the thing about this deck is it's budget almost to begin with. Like, other than a couple big cards here and there, that's pretty much all you need.
Yeah. Tempo Mage is just good. And that was like one of the things that really attracted me personally to Hearthstone when I first started, was that Zoo was one of the best decks in the game. Like OG, like Raynad Zoo, was pretty much all commons and Doom Guards. And like, it played Shield Bearer back in the day. And there were so many other ones too. There was like Face Hunter, like all these decks that were aggro were so cheap. And that was really helpful for me as a new player to be able to get a feel for like higher level Hearthstone, because you could get to a decent rank. Like, I just remember I would play against somebody who was like a streamer, and I'd be like, holy crap, like, I am playing with this deck that is free to play, and I'm able to play against these people who are like big streamers. And that was just like the coolest thing to me. And that was like one of the, I don't want to say one of the main reasons I got attracted to Hearthstone, because there was like a lot of reasons, but that was definitely like a factor that made it so easy to get into the game.
Yeah. So the deck that I brought is actually kind of a aggro druid deck, and the nice thing about this is this is another one that you can very, very easily upgrade without any effort. In fact, if I were to upgrade this, I don't think there's any legendaries that I would add to it. But the deck list is basically, it's just like Argent Squire, Dire Maul, Firefly, Glacial Shard, adding some Naturalize in there for killing their dudes or a little bit of control. Imani Berserker, Direwolf Alpha. So these are just, it's a very zoo-like deck, as you can see, with very small minions and just sticky minions that you're putting down. And then you're increasing their value a little bit with things like Mark of the Wild, Power of the Wild, Savage Roar, a little bit of Taunt in there with Crypt Lords and the Serenite Chain Gangs. Once again, the sticky things with Soul of the Forest and buffing them up with Fungal Mancer. And then, of course, your Vicious Fledgling. So the highest cost card in here is like 5 mana, and that's Fungal Mancer. And everything else is like mostly 1, 2, or 3 mana cost. And it's just, like I said, it's all commons and rares. I think the only card I would put in here is Living Mana, and that's an epic. I would put that in here, and you'd probably be good to go. So this is another one of those cards that I think, and I don't know if you'll hit legend with this, even with the most optimized version of it, but you might. So, what do you guys think of this druid? Is that something you guys would be able to play or at your level? Or
I mean, probably not at my level, but I could definitely play it to rank 5. I don't know if I could play it in legend and do well. I actually probably could with the right matchups. If I did put in the living mana, I definitely could, because living mana just beats Miracle Rogue like by itself a lot of the time. So, and just like board spam does really well against a lot of these aggro decks like Tempo Mage, Odd Rogue. It does well against Shudderwalk to some degree, but it's going to struggle a lot against the other like control decks in the meta.
It feels like a deck where you could really kind of catch your opponents off guard, because they just assume the most of the druid decks are kind of slower, so they might mulligan incorrectly for you, might keep some like later game cards, and you might be able to rush them down pretty quickly. I could definitely see something like that happening with a deck like this.
Yeah, I want to make an aggro druid, see if it'll work. Just stick some living manas in like something like this and just see if that can be good, if I can just avoid all the control warlocks or control warriors or whatever else is out there.
Yeah, I got to play it a little bit. I had some all right success with it. Like I said, I'm just still rank 5, so I didn't put in a lot of games with it. I only got to play it like the last, I think I played like maybe 5 games with it. I think I went 3-2, so not the best stats, but I still need to. Still need to play it a little bit and see where it goes. So the other deck was just Zoo.
Yep. So this was the first deck that came to mind as soon as you said budget, mainly because I had seen it a little bit on ladder. Zoo just always has a soft spot in my heart because it was the first deck I ever hit legend with. Now, this was way back in the day when Nerubian Egg and Haunted Creeper were in standard, but I always have just been like a huge fan of the different Zoo decks, and I think it's really powerful. I mean, Doomguard is a rare and is really strong. The Warlock Hero power is really strong. Despicable Dreadlord actually lines up against a lot of opponents' minions very well, and plus people just aren't really prepared for Zoo right now, so I came up with this version, and most of the decks I've been playing against are actually playing Kel'Seth. So if you already had Kel'Seth, you could pretty easily change out the two drops in this deck to include Kel'Seth. And if you got like Blood Reaver Gul'dan as your free Death Knight, then you pretty much just have the high legend, or I guess high-ish legend, zoo decks that have popped up here and there. I mean, I honestly think that, you know, Even Lock and Cube Lock are probably just better than zoo, but I do think you could do pretty well with a deck like this.
Yeah, and Zoo's one of those decks. Zoo Warlock is one of those decks that has always kind of been around forever. Has almost since the beginning of Hearthstone, it feels like. Not quite, but pretty close. And it always seems like it's one of the decks that's always the cheapest in the game. I feel like whenever a new player comes along, that's kind of the deck that they want to start with. And the other nice thing about this, and especially Zulok, is there's a lot of classic cards that you can kind of pick from it too. And it would be a little bit different than this list that Boticus brought, but you can definitely change things up a little bit too, if you're a new player, to include more classic cards and still be somewhat successful. You can probably maybe not hit rank 10, but you can definitely win games early on and get that gold up there and easily buy some packs to get some of these other cards, since most of them are commons and rares. You'll be able to pick them up pretty easily. So,
yeah.
Anything else you guys wanted to talk about on these decks or budget decks in general?
I wish there was more. Like, I think for some reason, aggro decks are generally more budget friendly, and I just wish there was more of them.
I agree.
I'm sure there's like a budget hunter deck out there somewhere that we just didn't really have a lot of time to delve into, but. I think the problem is like a lot of it's really hard to define what a budget deck is now, because I feel like people have legendaries in their collections, just maybe not necessarily the right ones. So like, it's really hard to suggest certain decks to people, because if they have X legendary, maybe they can build a shell around it. And so many of the aggressive decks nowadays feel like they run one to two legendaries in them. So if it just so happens that those are the ones you have, you could build the deck. But it's hard to go like have a wide sweeping statement about it when everybody's collection is a bit different.
Yeah, I think I just know a lot of our listeners, like there's a couple of them that come to mind that hit us up on Twitter. And they're always asking, like, hey, what should I disenchant? What should I enchant? What should I play? And because they're like, I don't have a lot of gold. I don't have a lot of dust to play some of these higher end stuff. But the one thing that is nice is I think budget decks have gotten a little more expensive over time, especially for new players. But right now, like in the game, would be the best time to play one, just because the pool is much more limited, and where the classic cards become much more kind of powerful. Or you have less sets to kind of choose from. So it's kind of in that sweet spot right now.
And if you ever have a choice between crafting a legendary from the classic set or one from one of the expansions as like a just an improvement to one of your decks, I would always craft the classic one, because it's going to become relevant again and again throughout Hearthstone's history, whereas if you craft the other one, it'll eventually get rotated and relegated to Wild, and then only Danny Donuts will ever play it again.
Yeah, but what classic legendaries like are out there that are worth really crafting, other than like Blood Mage Thanos, which hasn't really been seen play that much lately now.
I guess I'm just like, that's just like a generalization, but there are definitely classic legendaries that are seeing some play, like Leroy and
Harrison Jones.
Yeah. Stuff like that.
I just had to craft Baron Geddon today or yesterday, yeah, so I could play Big Spell Mage.
That's what I like to hear.
You can also always hope that that legendary then goes to the Hall of Fame and you just get free dust from it when it does that.
Oh, yeah. That's actually something else that people were asking me was, like, should I disenchant my X card that got nerfed? And I actually just disenchant all of them because you get full value. So at worst, you have to recraft it and you break even. At best, they're not playable and you just have that dust now that you wouldn't have had if you had waited.
But my collection, Ray. I can't part with my collection.
Get over it.
I guess you're going to have to spend some money then.
Yeah.
No. What?
Buy more packs.
Yep, that's...
If you're not going to disenchant, you got to buy packs.
It's true.
I mean, that's the way I look at it, yeah. I guess.
I have a very hard time disenchanting cards. Like, I even have a lot of my goldens, and when I need dust... That's usually the first one I look at is my gold cards. And I'm like, I have to think very, very carefully on if I really want to disenchant this gold card that I've never played in my life.
Dude, I actually had this huge conversation with Dr. J and my teammate Cortex John the other day about how they can only play, they literally only play tournaments with all golden decks. And that's just like, I'm just like, you're an idiot. Like, come on. You're just wasting so much money. Like, I'm basic card back, no shiny cards, no golden cards, basic card back gamer. Like, we're bare bones. And these people over here, they're like, oh, I don't know if I can play this big mage deck. That's a lot of golden legendaries I have to craft.
But see, Ray, there's a difference here. They have the golden card back and you don't.
Hey. You got me.
I was waiting for your comeback.
That would be pretty sweet.
You'll get it. You'll get it this year, and I'll be rooting for you. I'll be rooting
Thank
for you to
JR.
Get it. But anyway, I think it's time to get out of here though. All right, so I think that does it for this week. Let's see what we got going on. We got over on Patreon. First of all, I wanted to thank our well-met legends. This month is Otaku MZ. Thanks so much for that patronage for this month of May. And we're going to have some new ones next month, it looks like. We have a new patron, John Schaff, who has joined the ranks, and we'll be getting some coaching from Ray next month. John, after June 1st, I'll be contacting you on what to do to get that coaching. And if you'd like to get coached by Ray or any of the Well-Met team, or maybe Bodicus over here. No, I'm just kidding. Just head over to patreon.com/wellmetpodcast. $30 will get you the coaching session. $50 will get you the shout out on the show as being a Well-Met legend. As little as $1 will get you entered into the raffle, where we take all of our patrons and raffle off one coaching session. So you can get a coaching session for just $1 if you head over there and sign up. So, anyway, Ray has left us for the time being, it looks like. So I won't respond with what he just sent on Skype. But iTunes reviews this month or this week, we didn't have any new ones. If you'd like to go over and give an iTunes review, just head over to iTunes, type in Hearthstone, and by doing a search for podcasts, and you'll find Walmart Podcast there. Leave a 5-star review, and I'll make Ray next week give a shout out and probably say your name wrong. But anyway, Bodicus, thanks for joining us this week, man. I'm really glad that you came on and were able to talk about DreamHack with us and these decks in the meta and everything. Anyway, do you have any shout-outs this week, or where can people find you at?
Yeah, well, thank you so much for bringing me on this week. I really had a great time with you guys. Hopefully, I'll get to meet Ray this weekend at DreamHack Austin. Really looking forward to that. But in terms of finding me, you can find the podcast that I'm on. It's coinconcede.com. And if you're looking to follow me on Twitter, I'm at BotticusHS, BotticusHS. And I also usually stream on the weekends. I was kind of stressed out this weekend about trying to get up into a high ladder finish. So I didn't get to stream this weekend, and I'll be in Austin next weekend, but you can catch me probably the following weekend. That's twitch.tv/Boticus.
Nice. Anyway, as for me, you can find me over on Twitter at Deldorian for shoutouts. Boticus, once again, thanks for joining us. And also shout out to John for the community lead chance that he has over at Play Overwatch. So head over there. Don't forget to vote for him over at worldcup.playoverwatch.com. Well, I think that does it. So thanks for joining us for episode 155 of Well Met. You can find more awesome Hearthstone content throughout the week at hearthstone.blitzpro.com. You can also tweet us at Well Met Podcast or email us at wellmet@blitzpro.com with comments, questions, and ideas you have for the show. Thanks to Jake Butno for our amazing intro music. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you guys all next week.